Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. Almost at the end of April already. It's Thursday, April the 25th, and we're going to start today with our most read story on the website. It's all about house building. First up, a developer has been criticised for going back on a promise to provide affordable housing in Deal. Now, 100 properties are due to be built in Cross Road, and 30% of those were supposed to be affordable. However, Abbey Developments want to remove that requirement completely following a viability assessment. Our reporter Sam Lennon has spoken to Lynn French, who lives nearby.
I think it's appalling. It was originally granted permission on the basis that they were going to provide 30% affordable housing. They called it a significant factor in making the ensuring that the application was approved, the planners at DDC. So they need to adhere by that. It was also brought up at the Reserve Matters application, and at the Reserve Matters application, which was actually Abbey doing the application, not Gladman, who were the previous developers, they too said that they were going to allow for 30% affordable housing, and now they want to get rid of it. It's all about the money.
Why is affordable housing needed here?
It's needed here because there are so many people who can't afford a mortgage nowadays, who need to be able to rent property, and there's just nowhere in the district where you can actually rent for a reasonable rent. It's just unbelievable.
Judy Wilson is also a local resident.
I'm absolutely shocked and horrified by the whole thing, actually, because I feel that it's been done in a really, really unhelpful way, really, because we haven't received any notification of this at all. We first knew about this planning happening way back. We opposed it because it's taken over a lovely big bit of our countryside at the back. Now what's happened as a result of that, it just seems to have gone on in a really unhelpful way, where the planning is going ahead but things are being withdrawn bit by bit, you know. So now suddenly we've got a whole load of extra housing, and I would add we've got 200 already down this road within a very short walking distance of our house, where we didn't have any about 5 years ago.
Does Dill need affordable housing?
It definitely needs affordable housing without any shadow of doubt, and what's happening are people are moving into the area from other areas, and we just haven't got any housing for our own people, and yet our countryside is being swallowed up. So it really is quite a shocking way that they're doing all of this.
Some thoughts there from some local people, and in a statement, Dover District Council have said this. We can confirm that 30% of housing at this site needs to be affordable under the existing outline permission Section 106 agreement. This new application is seeking to allow the affordable housing to be removed from the scheme. We would stress that no decision has been made on this new application, and all relevant planning matters or feedback will be taken fully into consideration. We have also contacted the developer for a comment on this one, and you can have a say by leaving a message on the story or indeed on our socials. Elsewhere, plans for nearly 100 new homes in a village in Swale have been rejected. Developers wanted to build the new properties in Bapchild near Sittingbourne. Council bosses say the development was unsustainable and would fail to protect the countryside. But next, bosses in Dartford have approved plans to build more than 12,500 homes over the next 13 years. You may not know that the area has seen a 20% population increase in recent years, partly driven by the huge development of a garden city at Ebbsfleet. Well, Jeremy Kite is the council leader, and he's been speaking to the Local Democracy Reporting Service.
Well, it's important to remember that the local plan isn't just about homes. I mean, in the debate tonight, you heard lots of people talking about we need more homes, we need more homes, we need more homes. I don't actually agree. I think what we need is more community, and we need to make sure the infrastructure is there to meet those homes when we build them. So I have a very, very straightforward view. This isn't about housing number. I know the government might want it to be that way, and others might want it to be that way. For me, this job isn't about building more homes. It's about building communities.
And finally, it's been confirmed a development company behind a huge coastal tower block in Folkestone has not gone bust. Work has been on hold at the Lees Pavilion, and the lack of progress sparked rumours about the future of the luxury project. Bosses, however, say work will be back underway soon now that a new sprinkler system has been installed.
Kent Online News.
We've got some other top stories for you. A housing company has been fined after an employee suffered burns to his face while working on a site in Chatham. The man was repairing fences in Ironside Close in January last year when he struck an underground cable. MHS Homes, which is based in Medway, was ordered to pay more than £520,000 for failing to give their staff proper tools and information. Protesters in Margate have stopped a coach from taking asylum seekers to the controversial Bibby Stockholm barge. 22 men who were staying at a hotel in Cliftonville for 7 months were being moved to the vessel in Dorset. More than 100 people turned up to stop the coach from leaving, and the men, who are mainly from Afghanistan, have been allowed to stay where they are. A man has been sent to prison after police found a sawn-off shotgun at his home in Rochester. Police raided the property on Castle Street back in September 2022, when they also found air weapons and ammunition hidden in the loft space. 50-year-old Robert Redding pleaded guilty to weapons offences and was sentenced to 6.5 years. A Kent company has been fined £30,000 for the unsafe removal of asbestos. DOV services based in East Morling were found to be putting children at risk while removing cement sheets from a school in Essex. The company, which trades under the name Asbestos Gone, also removed the substance without a licence from a shop in Redhill. Now, a Gravesend dad with an inoperable brain tumour hopes a fundraiser will help him make memories with his children. John Rendell received the devastating diagnosis last year and has undergone treatment for the condition, but is unsure just how much time he has left. He's been speaking to our reporter, Keely Greenwood.
The radiotherapy was targeted at the side where they removed the tumour. So that's to kind of try and kill the cells where it was to stop it coming back.
And
to also attack the bit what's left. And then the chemo is more just to kind of control what's left there. So there, the plan is a year's worth of chemotherapy and trying to stop the half was there doing anything. Yeah, they call it put it to sleep, basically, stop it from doing anything. And then after a year of chemotherapy, if it's not doing anything, I'll go on to, they call it like surveillance. So it'd be scans, scans every couple of months or 3 months to just make sure it's not doing anything. And if it does something, then it goes back to potential more surgery. If that part grows back, more radiotherapy or more chemotherapy. They're just trying to really control it because they've said to me they can't get rid of it.
So
it is something I'm going to have for life.
Yeah. And have they given you a prognosis or can you just live with it?
They told me it's life shortening.
Right.
They have told me that, but they've said they've not put in a timescale or anything like that on it because at the moment I'm quite physically healthy and I'm healthy with it, so they're not putting a time frame on it, but they have told me it is life shortening. That's definite. And also the treatment I've had will age my brain. They told me that as well, because the radiotherapy was 6 weeks, Monday to Friday for 6 weeks, and at the highest dose as well. And they said that will age your brain.
So what does that mean? What will that look like?
I think
like?
It just means it ages my brain quicker. So yeah, like things like memory and it might affect things like that further down the line.
Okay. So how are you feeling, you know, like mentally then with the life shortening thing? Do you just think I'm just gonna get on with it anyway?
The whole process, I've been very positive and I've been very, but it is things like that, which I do think, Christ. And also the mentally, it's very tough. It is tough mentally because I've got a young family and, you know, I want to see my kids grow up.
The 39-year-old had also been struggling to find extra money to spend on his family after battling with insurance companies for repairs to his house. Now a GoFundMe has been set up and already raised more than £1,100. Damien Clarkson is John's best friend.
I think John and Michelle are just wonderful people and they've got a lovely family, and obviously the diagnosis has come to a massive shock to them. It's the kind of thing no one expects to happen to them, and you know, as John said, that the condition he has is life shortening, and we don't know how long that will be. And, you know, hopefully the treatment works effectively, and, you know, we get a good result with the scan in May, and the prognosis looks positive, you know. But ultimately, we don't know, and things can change very quickly. And so I think it's really important that John and his family get to create these special memories like they've been doing with, you know, going to Port Lynn, Disneyland. You know, there's plenty of things that they need to do. And like, none of us know when our time is up, and we should all maybe live with that kind of attitude of doing things, you know, that we want to do when we can. But I think for John and his family, it's really important that they just get as much in now as they can, because we don't know what tomorrow holds.
We're very grateful to John for sharing his story, and also hearing from his friend Damien. You can read that story in full today by heading to the website.
Kent Online reports.
A Sittingbourne man's been accused of defrauding people as part of an unauthorised investment scheme. Cube Trading received more than £2.5 million from investors between March 2019 and January 2021. A 38-year-old has appeared in court and is due to enter a plea next month. Residents in a block of flats in Maidstone say they're scared there'll be a rat problem if issues with bin collections aren't fixed soon. Suez has taken over waste management, and many people have reported going without rubbish collections for several weeks. Now, people living in Bluecoats Yard in Knight Rider Street say their bin store is piled high with black bags, and they're none the wiser about when it might be picked up. Motorists in Whitstable say roadworks have made driving around the town a nightmare. A contraflow system's currently in place on the new Thanet Way, while urgent repairs have also been taking place on Peen Hill and Rake Hill. The reconstruction of the A299 is expected to take until July. Roads bosses are urging motorists not to divert onto smaller roads that can't cope. And a study by the University of Kent and the World Health Organization has found underage girls are smoking, drinking and vaping more than boys. Lucy has the detail.
In one of the largest studies of its kind, more than 280,000 children aged 11, 13 and 15 from 44 countries were asked about their use. The findings show 2/5 of girls in England have vaped by the age of 15. That's higher than any other country. One of the driving factors could be their availability and low cost. University of Kent Professor Sally Kendall worked on the study. She says vaping has clearly replaced smoking as a dangerous recreational activity in our children. They also found more than 1/3 of young boys and girls had drunk alcohol by the age of 11.
Kent Online reports.
A dad whose young son died in a suspected hit and run has revealed he's opening a dessert parlour in Folkestone in his memory. 7-year-old William Brown had been going to retrieve a football when it happened in December. Well, William Brown Sr. has been telling us about the site and what will be served.
I'm opening the shop because I want to celebrate my son's life. I want my son to be remembered. And also I'm going through the grieving process, and I'm trying to work out what's right to do and what's not right to do. But I just feel what's right to do is get stuck in, celebrate my son's life and do something positive for Folkestone, where he lived. And just hopefully put some smiles on some faces.
And then could you talk about all the sort of things that you're going to be serving here?
Yeah, so basically everything that Will liked. So from Mr. Whippy ice cream, waffles, slush puppy, there's going to be a 7-foot gumball machine in here, which don't quote me, but it's believed to be the biggest gumball machine in the UK. And yeah, just everything that Will loved and had a massive smile on his face on all the photos I've got of him. Just everything like that, really.
And when are you planning to sort of open up?
Hope to open on the 27th, the second bank holiday weekend of May. Don't hold me to that, but we're going to try our best and then keep everyone posted.
A vet on Sheppey has issued a warning after two dogs suddenly died following a visit to Minster Lees Beach. It's believed the animals, who had the same owner, may have ingested something while out walking. The council say they're investigating. If you follow Kent Online on socials, you can see the first glimpse of a statue that's going to be installed in Canterbury. It's of trailblazing author Afra Ben, who was born in Surrey and was Britain's first ever professional writer. It'll eventually take pride pride of place outside the Beanie Museum. And security guards have rescued a family of ducks that got lost in a shopping centre in Canterbury. A mother and five ducklings were spotted in Whitefriars Square yesterday. Staff managed to put them in a box and take them back to the river. Do head to the website to see some incredibly cute pictures.
Kent Online Sports.
Footballer Maidstone United are through to the National League South playoff semi-finals. They beat Averley 2-1 at the Gallagher Stadium last night. Substitute Mo Farles scored the winner late on in injury time. Manager George Ellacobi has been speaking to Stones TV.
We don't do it the easy way. But firstly, commissaries to Averley. They've had an unbelievable season. And, you know, this was our third attempt. We know this was going to be tough tonight. And they pushed us all the way. And it was a fantastic playoff tie. But again, our group, super proud of them. Super proud of our football club, our community. Our supporters were all magnificent today. And our group of players have left everything out here today for the shed. And it was the manner of how we went about it. I thought, you know, from start to finish, we edged it in terms of the chances created. And on another day, we could have won it by more margins. But we have to be very, very happy to get through to the next stage of the playoffs.
It must have felt at some point very frustrating. The first half, I think, could have been easy to go in half-time. Heads were down. They haven't created too many opportunities. And they get, obviously, with the chances we created. But again, they got a reaction out of them second half. And now, what did you say to him at the break?
No. I thought the first half was fantastic. You know, the keeper was in fine form, made some brilliant saves. We got in areas that we wanted to in terms of some of their weaknesses that we nullified. There were some good passages of play, and I thought the only thing lacking was a finish. It was only a matter of time before we get that goal. But it was about staying in the game, making sure we don't get frustrated, making sure we are relentless and we are ruthless in front of goal when we get an opportunity in the second half. And we told the boys to carry on playing, but the most important thing is to stay organized behind the ball and make sure we stay patient, because like we saw, they were dropping really deep in a low block, and we have to be patient in terms of our movements, in terms of the switch of play. And I like how patient we was, and we knew we was going to have that moment. And when we do get our first goal, it wasn't to sit on it. We didn't want to go to extra time. We wanted to finish the job inside the 90 minutes, and I love how our boys, you know, reacted, and especially the substitutions. They had a massive, massive impact today. They knew the game plan, they knew the strategies, and they've come on. Michael Klaas has come on and, you know, gave us that composure that we needed in midfield. And obviously Mo came on, and his first movement, he created a chance, and you could see his intent. The intention was there. It was about being patient, but also selfless work from Matt Rush, working the ball in the final third. Good movement from Mo File, and Rush is had a picture and, you know, a great assist. So super proud of the group.
And Maidstone United will travel to take on Worthing on Sunday. And finally, junior footballers across the county are being warned against wearing mini shin pads. The protective pads have been made popular by Manchester City star Jack Grealish, and a little more than the size of a train ticket. But the FA has stepped in and says players are at an increased risk of injury if they're not wearing proper equipment. That's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the site today, don't forget to check out our latest Eat My Words food review to find out if reporter Oliver Leonard could complete the Carolina Reaper Hot Wings Challenge at Winkings in Canterbury.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.